Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Well, you know, we're hearing some pretty continual and unfolding nonstop. You think, well, that's it. Right?
Right.
5 minutes later, well, that's it. You know, it's sort of like the Lions football team. You think, okay, that touching, that's it. 400 points later, that's it. Right. There's only four quarters. How could it be this high? The things that are unfolding rapidly before us in our nation is a turning over. You know, Dr. Mark Hamby, who I've never met personally anybody like him. And I'm not saying there isn't anybody like him. That could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing. You know, like, I would know that. But, you know, part of him, you know, I've met, and I just really, so often when somebody's given a revelation or a word, you know, God, they're hearing God, what God's saying, we have a tendency to define that person and their value or their significance based off God used them for a moment. You know, like Peter was kind of his own inflated personality when he made the first prophecy about who Jesus was. You know, he was so pumped up, you know, thou art the Son of God. You know, and then he waited. And then Jesus says in front of the other 11, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And so, you know, Peter.
Yeah.
And so we based on what we read. And, but I do know Peter's. And he's like, man, I can't wait to prophesy again. Pastor, can you get me? Can I prophesy today? Can I lay hands on people and prophesy today? I got a word. It's like, you already gave one. That was the one God revealed to you.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just a prophet. It's like, you know, we were like prophets when they hear from God. There's nothing like it. But I don't think he's dropping one every 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, that was one word for Peter. So here goes Peter. He's all pumped up. You know, it's the next gathering of your church. You're coming together. And he's like, listen, he's not going to give me time to be able to get the mic and be able to speak. So I'm going to go right in front of everybody, and I'm going to prophesy right to Jesus. Right? And Jesus is doing what he does, you know, being awesome. And, all of a sudden, I can see it now. You know, Peter tapping him on the shoulder. Jesus, I got a word for you. I'm hearing from the Lord. I'm hearing from the same Father that you told me that I heard from earlier. Remember, you said flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And so, Father would say unto you, yes, Peter. Yes, Mr. Fisherman, you know, the one I rescued over and over again. I say, yes, says, you are not to go under or go down to Jerusalem. Then they squint their eyes, you know, and they go, And then you go,
wait, head tilted.
And Jesus looks back at this second prophecy and he says, what the heck are you doing? You so miss that. Get behind me, Satan. It's like, whoa. Jesus, you're ruining my ministry here. Ho. First, you told everybody I was a prophet, and now you're telling me I'm Satan. No, I'm telling you Satan. I'm saying your mouth is Satan. Your tongue is Satan, and you are listening to a father. You're listening to the father of lies. He said very specifically that there's two fathers going in. There's a father in heaven, which is the father of Jesus, and then there's father of lies. And at that moment, he switched that quickly from because he was all, you know, ooh, I'm a prophet. Shah, tabeke, baby, say hey. The... they walk, you know. And I'm not saying anything. I mean, I'm like John Bevere. I am for prophecy. It just needs to be accurate. You know, many people are walking around. many people are needed to walk a 10 mile journey with a 3 mile word. You know, I'm just like, where's the rest of it? And it's like, which father was this thing? And so, you know, they kind of come close, and all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting there trying to minister, and then, you know, it's like seed that falls amongst the thorns and chokes it out. Yes, Peter. Dude, I'm trying to teach about weeds and thorns here. Ah, I got a spiritual thing. Got a spiritual thing to talk about. Listen, we're being choked out by these cares and people. I got a spiritual encounter here for you. Okay, go ahead. Don't go to Jerusalem. And then this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, which totally blew Peter's ministry out of the water. Get behind me, Satan. He says, you have on your mind yourself. You have on your mind the things of man, the horizontal things instead of the vertical things, the things of man, not the things of God. And then he said, because you opened your mouth in the name of a prophet and I allowed you to speak into my ear, that now you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. I meant, listen, just because, you know, we're used by the Lord, it doesn't mean that it's something you pull out of your holster like a gun and you shoot like a cowboy anytime. You know, you got to hear from God. You don't want to be known that you're by your gift. You want to be known by the giver who gave the gift, mm-hmm. right? Because he was all caught up in his gift, and the giver of the gift. Remember, Jesus administrates the gifts. Think about it. You know, Jesus gave this gift. You know, and it's like, oh, and then he looks at the giver of the gift and he exalts his gift over the very one that gave the gift. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that crazy? Because all of a sudden the gift, I have the gift of discernment. No, you don't, because if you did, you would not be about what you're about to say. You would just stop.
And I know what gift I got.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're like, yeah, so, you know, I got the gift of discernment. Okay, let me think about it. Getting anything? What are you hearing? They tell you something like, nope, you don't have to get the discernment, because if you would only know what was going through my mind at that moment, you probably would have had to forgive me. You're like, you had to forgive me. God, forgive me. But it's just amazing, you know, things that are being just, you know, shot out in the name of God. And that second word is the one to watch out for. That's what Rick Joyner talks about. He said, watch out for the second word. Because the first word sometimes puffs up depending on the individual who delivered it. Why? Because giftings can take you places that your character cannot keep you.
That's right.
We can't mistake the fact that we have a perfect gift that accompanies perfect character. It just doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
It'd be cool, wouldn't it?
It would be nice.
I hereby give you a perfect gift and perfect character. What happens is God gifts you. And then you got to keep working on your character so you don't get killed.
You don't die.
You don't die, right?
Yeah.
You don't die. It's like, by the time you're ready to be used, like Joseph, you know, you're right here and they're about to make you the president of Egypt, which is falling apart today, understand? Mm-hmm. You're going like, no, I don't think I have a gift. No, I don't. Go to Jerusalem if you want to. I don't know. I don't know anything. Yeah, no, whatever. Find yourself somebody to run this thing. I'm just totally fine in the jail. Yeah, I'm managing the jail right now. And granted, he was a trustee everywhere he went. God blessed him. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where, you know, I want to encourage you today that there's nothing more exciting than to hear a word from the Lord. And there's nothing more divisive between a believer and God than a word, a believer in God's will, than a word not from God. So that gift should be with fear and trembling, because even Jesus, when a word was spoken over him that was from, not from God, it almost divided him from the will of God. I just deliver words and let them land. Like, oh my goodness, we'll see you at the judgment seat.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because Peter almost divided Jesus from the will of the Father. He said, you almost tempted me not to do the will of the Father. Hmm. And it's like, no, prophecy is awesome when it's from God. But no, when it's just something tossed over your business card to land on somewhere so you get a speaking engagement or an offering, you know, those are deadly.
Careful, careful.
Yeah. Sir, the Lord was saying to me, I think you're a man. And today's generation, like, thank God.
Right.
I was wondering. You're a lady? Oh, thank you, Jesus. But I don't know. I just very. I think about, you know, John Bevere wrote the book, and it literally, you know, it was real tough, you know, on that particular gifting. But the truth is, the Word of God says more about false preachers than it does about false prophets. Mm-hmm. And Peter wasn't false, but the word he gave was false.
Yeah, big difference.
The word he gave was false, and that we just can't let people, you know, just anybody who wants to speak into our ear. We need to know their fruit. We need to know their life. And, you know, first be fruitful, be faithful, be related, and then all of a sudden, then God begins to speak. You know, God begins to speak to you. But, and this is the direction that I was really talking about. Imagine now, instead of continually telling people how to paint their cabinets who are in the cabinet business, in other words, keep on using that gift on the church, turn it out into the world. I mean, if it's your true gift, if you really are a prophet, mm-hmm. My goodness, ma'am, my goodness, sir, go out into the coffee shops. Let God tell you about the person drinking their coffee over there. Walk up to them and boldly separate yourself from that word that God gave it to you, so it's not you. And you go ask permission and say, listen, the Lord has spoken to me about you. Do you have a moment? And you deliver it, and it reveals in their heart that God is real. God's thinking about them, and there's a chance they may come to God. That's one of the most, you know, the miracles, the words and the miracles and the signs and the wonders, that's for the lost.
Yeah.
I need to swing over to so-and-so's church so I can help them church, you know? It's like 10 cabinet companies. I'm building cabinets here, but I need to swing over there and tell them how to build their cabinets or just kind of look at their cabinets and the Lord says your cabinets look good. They look good. Your cabinets are good, like your hinges and your knobs and your stains and the teak wood or the whatever wood you're using and the Flamica countertops, the marble countertops. Like, how much longer do we got to talk about each other?
Mm.
You know, we got a whole Bible that tells us what God thinks about us. But this is a lost world out there that's waiting for you, if you're a prophet, to go out there and bust those hard hearts wide open with the love of God. And let them know they're running to soothsayers. They're running to
fortune tellers.
And here you are with the gift of prophecy. Run out there. Tell them the things the Lord lays on your heart. And if you're not a prophet, don't tell the church that you are. Hmm. Don't tell the church you are, because they want to hear prophecy. And they, you know, and they just go ahead and buy into it. And it really is a whoredom spirit. It's a whoredom spirit that runs after a word. You know, this runs after a word and runs after a word. It's like, you know, if you were hearing a word from God, this is what God would say. I gave you five. I spoke of you five times.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't do, obey, or follow any of those or believe those. And you're just looking for another thermostat adjustment on your comfort and convenience level. With your air conditioning or heating system, you're not looking to go into the harvest field. Abraham heard a word. He said, God, his is the word he heard. Get thee up and go, and I will show you.
Mm.
That was it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And if you want to hear from God again, you're going to first have to get up and go and move by faith. And you'll be surprised. God speaks.
Yeah.
Powerfully, he speaks.
The prophets that I'm familiar, you know, with is... I don't often hear prophets call themselves prophets. You know, they give themselves the word, you know,
right.
And they allow the word to speak for itself. But I've the true prophets that I've know of and, you know, proceeded their ministry and seen of, they don't wear it as a badge. They just give it. They're actually very humble.
The burden to bear.
Yeah, it is. And the thing, too, is that what we're all hearing when you're prophesying, you're hearing the very same Father share the very same thing. You're just hearing what heaven's saying, so it's not mm-hmm. like a secret.
Right.
You know, you're tapping into what God has already said. Your true prophecy bears witness with a man's heart that what is he already is made known to him, what God's already saying to him. So there's this encounter with, oh my goodness, that God just revealed my heart. He just revealed my heart, you know, that type of thing, versus going like, oh, okay, I guess he wants me to marry her. It's like, do you even know who she is? No, but, you know, prophet came over and said, dude, listen, ma'am, listen. You know, this is what a true prophet said. Paul said, listen, if you are married, act like you're not, and if you're not, don't, because the time is short.
That's right.
But if you do, you're not sinning. Shut up, my case. Yeah. Did he not?
That's what he said.
So, you know, that, remember, it's that we're going to talk about intercession today. Prophetic, the word of God delivered from a man who loves God should be in alignment with God's word. Mm. You can always verify a true prophet by the truth, which is the written word of God, to be able to make sure that it lines up with that. When they start speaking outside of that, then you got to begin to wonder, you know, what's going on in the context of this.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Healthy communication is vital for a healthy marriage. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and a lack of talking truthfully can harm your relationship. Here's family counselor Dr. Randy Carlson.
I think a great discussion within a marriage relationship is, when do we feel closest? What's happening in the relationship when we feel that? But I would encourage a woman to sit down with her husband and honestly talk about this. Again, I think it's so often what happens is disrespect shows up, words start to fly, people withdraw from each other, a wall goes up, sexual games start to get played, as opposed to just being honest.
Be proactive and protect against problems by being honest with your spouse about what's working and what's not working in your relationship. Then stop by focusonthefamily.com/marriage for more trusted advice.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that, I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So listen, I want to talk about, I don't know if we have enough time, but hopefully we do. Imagine if Jesus had a Facebook. You know, and I was not, you know, Mark Taylor is the one that turned me on to social media. Yeah, I didn't even have anything to do. It was so amazing. Oh, really? You first, okay, that's too much time to talk about that. But I was just like, it was amazing. It's like, oh, my friends. It's like the first time I got on iTunes. oh, that song from 1812. I had, oh, the next song. I'm like, Donna's shopping in Alabama or something, and I'm over in Florida going, it's another song. Oh, my goodness. The next thing you know, I'm like $70, $80 with the songs I'm downloading. This is great. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And he's like, stop. You know, just anyway. But imagine if Jesus had a Facebook. When you have a Facebook, for those that have one or don't have one, you just, you know, go and you open it up and you put in your information. And here's Jesus. Jesus, you know, was buried into the population. He wasn't, in their eyes, any different than anybody else, but he was. They didn't even know him until God pointed him out. I mean, he always was the Son of God, but they didn't know him until all of a sudden the Lord said, this is the one. And so imagine all of a sudden, you know, Jesus is, he's had a Facebook since he was born. You know, I'm in a manger, you know, a few years later, I just got some gold. I mean, somebody delivered some gold and some frankincense and some myrrh, snapping shots, you know. And no, I found out my parents weren't poor. There was just no room in the inn. You know, things that kids do. Are you posting? I mean, are you posting that on Facebook? It's okay. We do all that kind of stuff. Post your own stuff. Don't post my stuff. My goodness gracious. And so all of a sudden, you know, hey, I'm building with Dad today. We're building some stuff and taking some shots of, you know, something they built. And he was a carpenter's son. And here's my brothers. They still don't believe I'm the Son of God. My mom was looking at me with that weird eye today. I don't know what it is, but she's been pondering things in her heart. Help me out. Pray for me at the temple. Right? Like, I'm sneaking out today. I'm going to go to the temple and hang out with the teachers of the law and the lawyers and stuff. He walks away going, I thought these guys knew something. He's like, I confounded them. You know, think about it. This is his encounter. But nobody's friending him. No, as a matter of fact, he's even forgot about his Facebook. He's forgot about his Facebook. He's getting a lot of suggestions. Did you ever consider Lucifer? Oh, you know, I'm thinking about it. You know, it's like, no, I don't. Lucifer's my friend. If you do, that was on my big question. If you do deny them, do they know? Anyway, so then all of a sudden, God just says, now, bam. Here he is by the Jordan. John the Baptist is looking at him, and he begins to point him out. He says, listen, you know, behold the Lamb of God. And everybody starts going, does he have a Facebook? It's amazing. First thing, do you have a Facebook? They want to connect, right? And all of a sudden, he gets baptized. The Holy Spirit comes down. This Father says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. People are like, dude, we need to friend him. We need to friend him. Anyway, so then he leaves immediately and talks to nobody, and he goes in the wilderness. Everybody goes, well, I don't know what that was, but we're not going to go in the wilderness with him. And next thing you know, he's having all kinds of evilness trying to friend him because Satan is tempting him and all these different things. And then he comes out, and the friend that he has at this point is his father. Mm. His father's his friend. And he begins to walk out of the wilderness into Galilee and begin to talk and heal all the sick and heal those are diseased and cast out all the devils. And then all of a sudden, you know, this one friended him and that one friended him and this one's telling him and that one heard they healed. And all of a sudden everybody's bringing their sick people and his Facebook's going click, 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 up, 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 boom, 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 boom. Next thing they're doing a story like they did on the quarterback's girlfriend in Alabama when they said she had like, you know, 2,000 followers, but the next day she had 100,000 followers and everybody's talking about it. That's how people figure this crazy. That's what we're talking about. And so all of a sudden, oh, Jesus might be the real deal because he's got a lot of followers. Mm. I mean, I got to consider this Jesus. But then the Pharisees, who didn't friend him on Facebook, were always looking to see how things were going. And they were like, you know, creating fake profiles. Saying, could I have some bread? And so he... all these friends are coming and just coming and coming. And then he sat there and he said, listen, begin to post things. Listen, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they'll inherit the kingdom of God. Boom, it posts out on the Sermon on Mount. Everybody, you're like. You know, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Like, but not that many likes. And it just goes on and on and on. I mean, people are just, just think about it. If he had a Facebook, what would it look like? People were just liking him. You know, right before that, he had 12. His first 12 outside of his father that joined his Facebook was his 12 disciples. They liked him. And one of those was only joining him for some other ulterior motive. It was Judas. Remember, he had another idea. And Thomas was just checking things out. He had to see for himself.
Right.
And but all of a sudden, you know, here it is, this huge, it just finally happened, and thousands of likes are there, and they're all listening and to the post and all this kind of stuff. And then Jesus posts a post like this. Talks about, I think, in John chapter 6. This is his post. And the disciples don't even know it. They don't even know what's about to happen. He says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me." Unlike. Every single one of them. Every single one of them disconnected from publicly acknowledging him as a friend.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing, and that's saying, well, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions. That really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the Multiply, it's the MultiplyMovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe VineFellowshipNetwork.org is for you. Or go to MultiplyMovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that, you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. All he had left was the 12 friends that he had when he first came out with his father, came out of the wilderness. And then he looks at them, he says, listen, are you going to unfriend me publicly too? Are you going to deny me? Or what are you going to do? And Peter said, where else can we go? You have the keys to eternal life. So they begin again. They begin again telling and sharing and healing and telling of the love of God and that he'll forgive their sins. And all of a sudden they begin to like again. They begin to like again. They're coming. The crowds are coming. He's moved with compassion because they're harassed and helpless like sheep without shepherd. Like a sheep without a shepherd, and he's telling them they're healing, they're liking, and all of a sudden, and so here he is. Always said, you know, if Jesus had a Facebook, he wouldn't need Judas, because he'd say, hey, I'm in the Garden of Gethsemane crying out for men's souls. If you need something, post, here's the tree I'm under, you know,
yeah.
And here's the sleeping disciples. And so when he first started out and he opened his first Facebook, I mean, he's making all these posts, but he has no friends other than God. Nobody even knows it prior to John the Baptist being, you know, him being enlightened and pointing out, God pointing out his son, you know, at the Jordan. He was like 30 years old, and all of a sudden, bam. And his timeline says, you know, you know, you've been around for 30 years? You had a Facebook for 30 years? And all of a sudden, everybody, you know, well, you know, it's all these little posts like, you know, we talked about earlier. You can hear it in the end of the first hour. And all of a sudden, you know, Jesus had this huge crowd. Everybody's being healed. And he's posting, you know, blessed are he that that are poor in the spirit, for they'll inherit the kingdom of God. And blessed are the merciful. And the next day, post on the Sermon on the Mount, because they'll receive God's mercy. I mean, it's awesome. Things are, it's like, wow, this is great, you know. And then all of a sudden, he makes a post that says, you know, if you love your family, if you love your mama, your daddy, if you love your brother, your sister, your grandmother, or your grandpappy, or your peepaw or your meemaw more than me, you can have no part of me. And all of a sudden his subs went, listen, we just finally got some followers, Jesus. Last time you did, you know, so what are you doing? They're leaving us now. Hmm. You know, and Jesus is going, like, they never were with us.
Right.
He said, those that actually leave you were never with you. First John talks about that. And so here he is, you know, and you think about it, it's like an ebb and flow to his likes on his Facebook. When things are going good and he has healing crusades and huge, wondrous presence of God, camping adventures, and I mean, they're just coming and coming and coming and coming when the revival's happening. Man, look, Jesus is healing and Jesus is baptizing and Jesus is refreshing. And then all of a sudden it says, okay now. Follow me. This is a post. If you don't pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me, you can have no part of me. Unlike. Just up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And all of a sudden, then these guys who are liking him on his Facebook, they begin to post things. And he's going, these guys are not. Listen. Then he posts, listen, there's false prophets amongst us. And some of these people who are doing this posting, they're not of me. But make sure you know them more by their fruit than their post. Mm. Right?
That's right.
You see, you'll know them by their fruit, not by what they say. All of a sudden, you're like, it drops by 10% because the false prophets go, oh, quick, quick, quick. They're going to check out our fruit. And it goes on, and it's just like an ebb and flow, ebb and flow. I'll follow him. I'll follow him. Oh, my goodness, there's a cost. I'll follow him. I'll follow him. He told me to deny myself, pick up my cross, and I'm gone, leave. And up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. Numbers are going. It started with one and the Father, and it came to the 12 disciples. And all of a sudden, you know, he had just a few. And then he began to heal people in Galilee, and people started liking him. And then all of a sudden, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, it went all the way back down to 12 again. But then he began to heal again. Then he began to deliver and forgive. And then all of a sudden his friend count just went way up. But then again, he said, but you have to follow me. If you don't follow me, you can have no part of me. This is a tough teaching, Jesus. Unlike. Probably the only friends he would have had is false profiles by Pharisees trying to just keep an eye on what's going on. It's just like, come on in with your own name. Anyway, so then it finally comes, you know, to John 17 when he's there and you don't know who's your friend and who's not your friend. It really boils down to you and the 12, right? And he's going, listen, I've been faithful with the friends that openly stayed with me. I've kept them except for the one who friended me but really wasn't my friend. He had other agenda, Judas. And, but I'm going away. I'm going away. Father, I pray that you would bring them likes, that they would walk as I walk, that you would send them as you sent me. I'm going to send them as you sent me so they can go in the world and let them know that we love them and have a plan for their life. Yeah, I walked the example out. People liked me and they didn't like me. People said they loved me, but the truth is they hated me. People wanted from me what they can get, but they really didn't want me. Yes, the ebb and flow of relationships and the reality. If that happened to Jesus, if they posted, listen, here he is. Jesus is walking the God in the flesh, and he's telling everybody these awesome, or imagine if he had a Facebook, and he's posting these awesome words, and then all of a sudden, right after his post, a Pharisee post, he's a devil. And all the other Pharisees go, like. And then another Sadducee post that says, his ministry, his power comes from Satan. Post. All the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the dark, like, share. See, we told you. But he just continues on. They said, by Satan, that's how he has his power, by Satan. They looked God in the face and they called him Satan. Now, I saw him today. This is the Pharisee post. I saw him today and I looked him square in the eye and he's Satan. And he posted it. Jesus said nothing like a lamb led to the slaughter. He did not defend himself. He trusted himself to him who judges justly. He didn't get on there and start posting back. No. Really. But here he is in John 17. He's saying, listen, this is the last few posts. Father, I pray that they would be one as we are one, us and them and us. May other people believe not only the message that I deliver, but the message that they deliver, that people would believe, to let them know that I love them. And that you love him as much as you love me. I mean, what an awesome post. I mean, what an awesome moment. And then suddenly, one of his friends who was on his Facebook shows up. Or imagine if Jesus had a Facebook. Judas. He only friended him for what he can get out of him. And turned him over to the Pharisees, the religious folks. And all of a sudden, even the 12 that he chose from the moment he walked out, he and the Father chose from the moment he walked out of the desert, even the 12, quietly, not publicly. Of course, Judas wanted to stay his friend. Probably he was the only one left on his Facebook. But the 12 unfriended him. They didn't say much. It was just quiet. Unlike, I can't be associated with them. He's about to be crucified. And all of a sudden, it's just him and the Father. Mm-hmm. And probably Judas. Because he did kiss him. Mm-hmm. You betray me with a like. Mm. Right? Mm. Betray me with a kiss. Judas, you're the only one left, dude. We know it's you. And here he is, being falsely accused. Who are you? Is it true? Are you the Son of God? And to say that, he's not going to get any likes. Nobody's going to have anything to do with him, because to call himself the Son of God is to call every religious man a sinner that needs a Savior. For him to say, listen, this is the only way to the God that you profess that you're following is through me, the Messiah. And he said, it is true. It is true. And finally, he's marched to the cross. And he's being marched to the cross. Peter has to not only privately unfriend him, but he unfriends him three times publicly. Publicly. And this is how many people were unfriending Jesus. I mean, it was almost a void on his Facebook, because people were pulling away so fast it created a negative number of friends on his social media. We're just giving an example. They were running so fast they ran out of their clothes. It's gotta get away from him. I gotta get away from him. And Peter, they confronted him as he was watching Jesus from a distance. Aren't you the person that was on Jesus' Facebook? Mm. And he goes, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Again, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. And then finally, he publicly just called down curses. It wasn't a secret betrayal or denial or unfriending for Peter. And all of a sudden, Jesus posts a video of a rooster crowing on his Facebook. Mm. He said, you'll deny me before the cock crows three times. Peter, just ashamed, just goes out, drops all the technology, goes back to fishing. Jesus is being crucified on the cross between two criminals, and it's just him and God and him and God and him and God. Everybody's run, and they left him and left him. There's no friends. They've all left. They don't even associate with him. It's just him and the Father, him and the Father, him and the Father. And then finally, one of the thieves that was on the side of him said, is it true? Is it true? Is it true? Is this true? Are you really the Messiah? Are you the Son of God? Can you forgive my sin? Is this true? If it's true, I'll be your friend. I don't care. Listen, I'm about to die. I want. And the thief on the cross, when Jesus had no friends but God, publicly sent a friend request to God. Mm. Because God was sending a friend request to man, which is Jesus. And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise because you're my friend, right? Mm. Friended me. You publicly friended me. They nailed him to the cross, and all of a sudden, the pain and the agony of the cross, and nobody wanted anything to do with him, and it's bad enough. He's like, Father, Father, Father. And then all of a sudden, the sins of the world is put upon Jesus, and he's got the sin. He never knew sin, but now sin is on him. Not only did they reject him for good, but now there's sin on him, and God can't look upon sin. And his very only friend that he had now outside the sinner that was on, the thief was on the cross, was his Father. And his father that was with him before the beginning of time, because he had to turn his head. He had to turn his head. He could not friend his own son with sin, with our sin on his back. And God, the creator of the universe, the one who gave him life, the one who hovered over the womb of Mary and birthed his son, had to do this. And he didn't. He loved you so much. He loved you so much. He loves us so much that he unfriended his own son. He disconnected from his own son. And Jesus said, Father, Father, why have you unfriended me? Why have you forsaken me? You see, the sin was on him, and he had to look away. And then all of a sudden, his own father that unfriended him struck him, because sin had to be dealt with. Jesus was all alone. All he had was the thief. All he had was the thief holding on to the reality by faith that I'm going to friend him. I'm going to friend Jesus. I'm going to friend him. I don't care what anybody says. Listen, we're all going to die, and we're all pointing to the judgment. And the thief says, I want what you have. But now his father, who he lived for, who he obeyed, who he did everything he said, he did everything right. Now even his father unfriended him and publicly struck him. And Jesus dies. He's got one friend. He's got the thief. And he's dead. His Facebook's still up as a memorial. People are kind of looking at it, but they're not friending it. They're not liking it. They're just kind of going, what's happening with Jesus now? He's in the grave, you know. He's in the grave. And they say, well, it seems like I saw some activity on Jesus' Facebook. You know, you saw some, how could it be activity? He's dead. No. I really think I saw some activity. Go back. Let's go look at his Facebook. Are you serious? Dude, I just saw three pictures. Somebody's hacked into his Facebook. That couldn't be Jesus. What's the pictures of? It's three keys. Three keys? Yeah, one of the keys says death. The other picture on his Facebook says hell. And the last one says the grave. He's dead. How can he be posting pictures when he's dead? And what is this key to death, hell, and the grave? What are these three keys? What's going on? Somebody's hacking in. That's some Pharisees, man. There's something going on. Somebody's trying to stir something up. And all of a sudden, 3 days later in the early morning hours, there's a post. It's a post by John and Peter. They said, listen, this Jesus that we told you about that was dead, that he's alive. He's alive. And all of a sudden, people start clicking and liking and coming. And all of a sudden, they're refreshing. He has 120 friends who are terrified. And he walks amongst them. Dead people coming out of graves. And all these things are going on. And oh my goodness, what was that? What was that? He said, listen, I'm going to go be with the Father. I want you to hang around. I want you to hang around this upper room. You know, put a post out, create a group, bring them all in to the upper room, all 120 of them, bring them up there, just wait. Because I'm going to go and he puts a post out, got 120 friends. I'm going to send down the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God, the dunamis power. You're going to be baptized with this. And he's going to give you power to be able to do everything that I was doing. And so they go and they're huddled up and they're praying and they're unity. And all of a sudden, man, he goes to be with the Father and boom, the church explodes. And these 120 people started posting these pictures with flames of fire on top of their heads and videos of people, shut that up, Keshi Yanda, filled with the fire of God. And all these things are going out and the church explodes. And Peter jumps up and he posts a sermon that literally just confronted the very people they were afraid of. And 3,000 people liked them and found God. And all of a sudden the church explodes. But that was that moment when not even God was his friend. Not even God. Let me tell you something. No matter what religion told you, friendship with the world, to be a friend of the world, to like the world, is to hate God. It's to hate God. God does not measure your value based on the crowd around you. He measures your success by your love for the Father, him in your heart. Obedience. The culture has clicked over into some concept as that Jesus was only valuable when he had followers. Jesus was always Jesus. From the moment he left heaven to the moment he went back to the 6,000 plus years or millennials before that, he was Jesus. And he was Jesus and he'll be Jesus forever. Listen, your life and somebody else's life, if you're following somebody just because they got a lot of followers, when you start getting posts from God in your heart that says, listen, this is not right. This is not right. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And you walk away. When he says, listen, 81% of you who profess to be following me are not even reading my commands. You're not even reading the Bible. Listen, you're not with me. Quit telling people you're not friending me. You're going to get unfriended by God. Think about it.
Wow.
He says, it's like when you publicly like me, for everybody to see, but quietly behind the scenes, you're unliking me, or in the public square that you were actually at the same time with two things coming out of your mouth. He says, you're like crucifying me all over again. You said you left your life of sin, but you're back in your sin again. You're publicly saying both things out of your mouth. Listen, it's like crucifying Christ all over again. He said, there may not be any help for you. Listen, we've bought into this thing, but look at Jesus' life and how it would be. How it would be. You see, wide is the road. Many are the likes that leads to hell, that leads to destruction. But narrow is the gate, a few likes that lead to eternal life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
When he was set free, he said, Jesus, Jesus, please come here for a moment. Come here for a moment.
Let
of course, the disciples are
Let
going, the disciples are going, you don't have time for this.
Right.
Jesus, 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 Jesus. You saw me worshiping. You saw me coming after you. You know, I'm delivered now. I'm saved. You know, I'm ready. And, you know, take me with you. Believe me, I've been cutting myself here. You know, I've been
the stuff I can't even talk about.
You know, chained, running around naked, and all that. I mean, that's what happened to him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And John, and so he walked on water.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
But if you, please write in and let us know.
Yes, please.
I'm very just joking, soon, even though it's 40 that's coming up. And so, in that the right to roasting John. No, that's what you
participate in.
Roasting John. So,
you're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I don't know if you guys seen this video yet. I don't know if, have you guys heard of the kid president? Have you heard of the kid president?
I may have, but I hadn't heard about it.
Well, I have a treat for you. I want you to hear a pep talk from the kid president. He's going to pep us up.
I think we all need a pep talk. The world needs you to stop being boring. Yeah, you. Boring is easy. Everybody can be boring, but you're gooder than that. Life is not a game, people. Life isn't a cereal eater. Well, it is a cereal. And if life is a game, aren't we all on the same team? I mean, really, right? I'm on your team. Be on my team. This is life, people. You got air coming through your nose. You got heartbeat. That means it's time to do something. A poem. Two roads diverged in the woods, and I took the road less traveled.
It hurt, man!
Really bad.
Rocks, thorns, and glass.
My pants broke. Not cool, Robert Frost. But what if there really were two paths? I want to be in the one that leads to awesome. It's like that dude Journey said, don't stop believing, unless you dream stupid. Then you should get a better dream. I think that's how it goes. Get a better dream and keep going. Keep going, keep going, and keep going. Will Michael Jordan have quit? Well, he did quit. No, he retired. Yeah, yes, he retired. But before that, in high school, what if he quit when he didn't make the team? He would have never made Space Jam. I love Space Jam. What will be your Space Jam? What will you create will make the world awesome? Nothing if you keep sitting there. That's why I'm talking to you today. This is your time. This is my time. It's our time. We can make every day better for each other. But if we're all on the same team, let's start acting like it. We got work to do. We can cry about it, or we can dance about it. We were made to be awesome. Let's get out there. I don't know everything. I'm just a kid. But I do know this. It's everybody's duty to give the world a reason to dance. So get to it. You've just been pep talk. creating something that will make the world awesome. Play ball.
That so reminds me of Isaiah's dance, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, man, you got to see that. Can you make that available on the VFN Torch so they can see this young boy?
We'll make it available. Michael Jordan would have quit. We wouldn't have no Space Jam.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
That's important. Well, he did quit, but he retired.
Yeah.
You got to see this young boy delivering that. That is hilarious. That is totally hilarious.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today. Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You'll want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spa. If you're looking to make some additions to your home, consider today visiting Joyce at Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spas, and they ship nationwide.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.